We turn now to our scripture readings this morning. First one, our Old Testament reading and our sermon text is Psalm 122. So please do turn there if you have your Bibles or your smartphones, whichever you use. Would you turn to Psalm 122? We'll be reading together the entire psalm. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And now if you turn over for our New Testament reading, to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 21. So not the very end, but close. Revelation 21. We will read verses, beginning at verse 9, we'll skip one section. So we'll read 9 to 14, and then pick up, read 22 to 27. So Revelation 21, beginning at verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance, like the most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the name of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So ends this reading from God's Word. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we come to you as we come to you every Lord's Day, and we come to you thankful for your Word. We come to you hungry for your Word. We pray that you would bless the proclamation of your Word this morning. Would it go forth with power? Would it go forth accompanied by your Holy Spirit to make it effective? That same Spirit who inspired these words, we now ask to be sent to illuminate these words, that we might really, truly understand them. Help us, Father. We need your help to understand and to hear and to live in light of your word. So we pray that you would send that help now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to Psalm 122, if you were looking at that, you might have thought, this does not seem like a great psalm for today, does it? Isn't it rubbing it in to have a psalm where the psalmist is talking about how glad he is to be in the Lord's house? Doesn't that rub it in at a time when we can't meet together for public worship? We can't meet together in the Lord's house. Well, actually, in spite of what we may think as we first read this psalm is a perfect psalm for today. Perfect for these reasons. It makes us long for corporate worship. I wonder if you've felt that. Maybe you feel that this morning. Do you long for corporate worship in a way that you haven't before? When something is taken away for a time, we long for it all the more. And that is certainly true for me. I hope it is true for you. This psalm is perfect for today because it talks about longing for worship with God's people. When this time is all over, this time of quarantine and being unable to meet together, when this is over, and it will be over soon. We don't know exactly when, but it will be over. How many of you will look at things differently? Things that you once took for granted. I wonder how many of you will think newly, in a new way, a fresh way, about the joy of going out for coffee with a friend, because we can't do that now. I wonder how many of you will think with joy about meeting people, having people over for dinner, because we can't do that now either. I wonder how many of the kids who are watching will think in a new way about the joy of going to a park or a playground and having it not be closed, having it be something where they can freely use everything that's there. I wonder if some of us who love certain non-essential stores that are closed right now, if we will look with new eyes at the joy of just going out and going shopping. Well, all those things are good things, and we should take joy in them because they are good things made by God. But how much more should we take joy in going to church on Sunday morning? Well, that has been taken away from us in God's providence for a time, and we hope that that time is very short. But it has been taken away from us for now. And I think, I can't say with certainty, but I am fairly certain that however else the Lord is using this time, it seems that one thing that he wants to do with this time is to wake us up, to the blessing of public worship that we may have once taken for granted. I don't know if you've ever woken up on Sunday morning and thought, I wish that I could just sleep in a little bit longer. But now, when public worship is not an option, we see what a joy, what a blessing it is to God's people to meet together, to hear his word, to go to him in prayer. These are things that we once took for granted, and now I think we won't take them for granted much more. I think that we'll have new eyes to see the blessings that these are. And I hope that that lasts a long time. I hope that that changes the generations that are alive right now, so that for the rest of our lives, we know what a joy it is to be in public worship, because there was a time when we couldn't do that. I hope that that will change us. I hope that that will make us long for the house of the Lord. We are in the Psalms of Ascent, the Psalms, again, that were specifically for pilgrims who were traveling up to Jerusalem, whether they were traveling for the three yearly festivals, or whether they were traveling from much further, from Babylon, returning from exile, going back to Jerusalem. These are psalms for pilgrims to sing on the journey. Psalm 120, which we covered now 2 weeks ago, is the beginning of that journey. It's a pilgrim, one of God's people, who is setting out on a long journey home and realizes how far from home he actually is. And Psalm 121 from last week shows the guarantee of God's protection on that journey. And now Psalm 122, those pilgrims are finally within the gates of Jerusalem. They're walking through those gates. The journey is over, but there's still more. The journey is over to Jerusalem, but now they long, once they walk through the threshold of the city, they long to get to the house of the Lord. Now I wonder if you see parallels between these three psalms that we've already we're talking about today, that we talked about in previous weeks, and our experience right now. I wonder if you see Psalm 120 being far from home. I wonder if you felt far from home, even though we're stuck in our homes right now. I wonder if you felt that because things seem to change all around us. The world seems to have flipped upside down just in the past 3 weeks. We realize how far from our home we are. We might be at our homes, but we are far from our real home, our true eternal home. And now I think we're living in a time between Psalm 121 and Psalm 122. We are seeing God's protection on this journey. We are seeing that he guarantees us that he will see us through to our eternal home. And we are waiting for that day when we will be able to approach the gates of Jerusalem, whether it's the gates of the doors of Beth Shalom or whatever church you attend, we are longing for the day when we will be able to join together in worship again. So these psalms are very appropriate for us right now. And Psalm 122, especially today, this psalm calls us to long for worship. And why do we long for worship? Well, we long for worship because it's a foretaste of the coming New Jerusalem, the place where the Lord will dwell with his people, and where Jesus, the King, reigns and brings peace and prosperity. That's what I want us to see in this psalm. Because you can read this and think this is just about Jerusalem, the city I can go visit right now. Well, probably not right now, but I could go visit pretty easily in this world. I can hop on a plane and be there and see Jerusalem right now. So what's so special about that? Well, this isn't talking necessarily about the physical, earthly city of Jerusalem. This psalm, as we apply it to our lives today, is talking about God's church, talking about Jesus, the King of the church, and talking about the day that we long for, when we will be welcomed into that new Jerusalem, not the present earthly Jerusalem, but the new Jerusalem, where Jesus is King completely, where God dwells with his people perfectly. That's what we are longing for. So first, I want us to see that this psalm calls us to long for worship in Jerusalem. Now, the psalmist is glad to have crossed those city gates. You see that in verses 1 through 4. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. The psalmist is glad to be in Jerusalem for a specific reason. He's glad to be there because it is where the house of the Lord is. It is where the psalmist, it's a psalm of David, where David himself can go to worship the Lord. So I wonder, why do we love worship? Why do we long for worship? There are some answers to this question that are fine. Worship can help us to stay calm, can't it? Worship can help us with anxieties that we all feel. Worship can help us to feel joyful as we sing God's praises, as we lift up prayers to him. Those are good things. Being in public worship is a time that we can long for because we see people who we care about. We see friends we might only see on Sundays. Well, these are not bad reasons. These are actually good reasons to long for worship, but they're only partial, and they're not complete, and they're not the main reason. The main reason that we long for worship is because we long for the house of the Lord. We long to be in his presence. I wonder, is that what brings you to worship on Sunday mornings? Is that what brings us when we are able to meet in person? Is that what brings us even now? That we long to be in the house of the Lord, to be in his presence. And I think this time should help us to that end, because we aren't able to meet in person. We aren't able to see friends, see people who we care about, in person at least. We aren't able to sing together. We can work on that. We can see if that's possible. But right now, we're not singing together. So all those other things are stripped away, and the only thing that remains is that we come to worship. We long for worship because we long to be in God's presence. So this psalm tells us to long for worship because we long for the house of the Lord. We long for God because he's the one who made us. He's the one who redeems us. He's the one who is at work in us as his people. Well, not only that, not only do we long for worship because we long for the house of the Lord, as Christians we long for worship because we are longing for the true King. Let me read verses 4 through 5. The second half of verse 4. The tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. We long for the king, and we see here in verses 4 and 5 the roles that the king plays. The two offices of the king. There are three that we believe that Jesus fulfills. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. And in this psalm, we see Jesus as priest in verse 4. We see that this psalmist, David, longs to go to Israel because he longs to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Priests in Israel were meant to lead the people in giving thanks to the Lord. And Jesus, our great high priest, does that. He leads us as we give thanks to the Lord. We see Jesus playing, being and having the office of priest in verse 4. But we also see the office of king. Not only does the psalmist long for giving thanks to the name of the Lord, he longs in verse 5 for the thrones for judgment that were set, the thrones of the house of David. David himself is the writer of this psalm. David is the great king of the Old Testament. David and Solomon are those high points of the Old Testament. And we, as we read Psalm 122, we do think of them, of course. We think of the righteous rule of good kings, but we know both David and Solomon failed. David and Solomon were not just kings all the time. And so this psalm makes us long for that perfect fulfillment, the throne of the house of David, in Jesus the King. Jesus the King, who is always just, who is always righteous, who is always good, who is always reliable, who is a good king at all times. And we see these roles close together. Jesus as priest and Jesus as king. That's what we see happening in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord. That's what we come to worship for, because Jesus is our king. We long for the king, and we want to be in his presence. We want to know his reign in our lives. We need him as our priest. He is our only mediator. He's the only one who's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he's the only mediator that we need. Our salvation is found in Christ alone. We need Jesus as our priest because he is the only one who can save us. We need Jesus as our king because he is a righteous ruler. I wonder if you've felt anxious or afraid or powerless sometimes in these past few weeks. I wonder if you felt your confidence in earthly rulers, earthly political leaders, wavering from time to time. I wonder if you've seen all human leaders caught off guard by these things that are going on around us. Well, that should make us long for Jesus the King. Jesus protects his people. He provides for his people, and he will one day defeat all of his and our enemies. Jesus is the great king who will one day come in great power to reign completely with his people. That is something that we long for, and we get a taste of that even now as we come for worship. We get a taste of Jesus the king, because Jesus does reign even now in his church. So we long for worship. We long for Jesus, the King. And this psalm also calls us to long for true peace and true prosperity. It says that in verses 6 through 9. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers." That's verses 6 through 7. So there are key words there. First is peace. And next is security or secure. Now the word for peace here is shalom. I don't know if you've heard that word before. It means much more than the absence of conflict. Here's what one commentator says. This word shalom, peace, gathers all aspects of wholeness that result from God's will being completed in us. So to say we long for peace is to say that we long for wholeness. We long for everything to be taken care of. We long for God's will to be completed. That is what we are longing for when we pray for peace. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's so much more. It is everything that God has intended for his creation being experienced. We long for peace when we come to worship. We also long for prosperity. The word secure here, that is one way you can translate it, but it can also be translated as prosperity. It can also be translated as having everything that you need, being secure. Don't those two things go together? You feel secure when you know you have everything you need. Maybe if you, just recently, these past few weeks, if you went on a grocery trip and you got everything you needed, you know you're good to go for a time, you feel more secure. You don't have to worry about running out of anything. And prosperity, having what we need, is something that can make us feel secure. And the same commentator points out that this word for prosperity or security The root meaning is actually leisure. And those all go together, don't they? When you feel like you have everything you need, when you feel secure, you can relax. You can kick back. Take it easy. You don't have to worry about things. This commentator says that this word is the relaxed stance of one who knows that everything is all right because God is over us. God is with us and for us in Jesus Christ. I wonder if you know that peace, if you know that prosperity. Well, Ephesians tells us that Jesus himself is our peace. Jesus is the only place to find true shalom. Jesus is the only place to find wholeness. We come to worship because we long for Jesus because, in part, because he gives us what we long for, and that is peace, wholeness. We also long for prosperity. I'm not talking about prosperity the way other people who you see on TV talk about prosperity. I'm not talking about having everything you ever dreamed or praying to God to give you a private jet or anything like that or a really nice car. This is just prosperity, meaning having everything that you need to do what God has called you to do, to be at leisure, to feel secure. And Jesus is also that as well. Same book of Ephesians that tells us that Jesus himself is our peace tells us that every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. That is the promise of God, that you will have everything that you need in Jesus Christ. So the longing for peace and prosperity that we see in this psalm is just the same as longing for Jesus. We don't long for him in order to get those things, but we long for him because he gives us those things. He gives us himself. We long for him. And we get those things, peace and prosperity, thrown in on the side. What a blessing that is to know Jesus, to know the blessings that are ours in him. We long for worship. We long for the true King. We long for the peace and prosperity that only he can bring. And we see that this longing is fulfilled eventually, not yet. We get a small taste of it now, but it's fulfilled in a greater way in the future. And we have that guarantee, that promise of great fulfillment coming in the future. So how do we see this longing fulfilled? Well, it's fulfilled in part even now in the church. When you read Jerusalem in these verses, you should not think primarily of the city of Jerusalem, again, that you can travel to. You should not think of the physical, political entity of Jerusalem. You should think of the church. Every commentator who is looking at the Psalms, at this psalm in particular, with the eyes of the New Testament, says this psalm is about the church. It's about the rule of Jesus in the church. And where do we see this? If you see in verse 2, it says something interesting about Jerusalem. It's built as a city that is bound firmly together. What does this mean? It's tightly compact. People are in there together. Everyone fits. Everyone has a place. I wonder if you see this in the church. You should see this in the church. A city that is bound firmly together. One commentator writes that the church is Jerusalem on earth. It is a counterculture. It's a place where people who are unlike one another are close together. And this commentator says this: people who would never get along outside the church love one another inside it. I wonder if you've seen this. Think of the church where I grew up, where you could have people from all walks of life, all ethnic backgrounds, people sitting side by side, people who had huge bank accounts, and people who lived on food stamps sitting next to each other, loving one another. People coming together who were very, very unlike each other, coming together as one people of God. That is what we should see in the church. That's what we see at Corona Presbyterian Church. Some of us look a lot alike, but all of us have different personalities. All of us have different things that drive us, different things that we value, and that sometimes can get a little contentious. It hasn't yet at CPC, but someday it may. But we can know that we are brought together as God's people, as his church. We can remember that we are bound firmly together by our love for one another that is in and because of the love of Jesus Christ for us as his people. So I hope you long for this to be true. I hope you long for this to be more and more true, to have all our differences put aside as we are bound firmly together as God's people. So that's one way we taste it today. We taste that unity in the body of Christ. We also taste Jesus the King himself. Jesus abides with his church right now, at this very moment. You remember the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He gives the church its mission to make disciples, to baptize, to teach everything that he taught. And he says this promise, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with his church right now. Jesus is with his church, not at all taken by surprise by coronavirus, not at all taken by surprise at the fact that most churches, in this country at least, cannot meet for worship. Jesus is with his church. He is ruling his church as king. He does that through his word. He does that through his spirit. He does that through those who he appoints to be officers, pastors, elders, and deacons. Jesus rules his church now. We see it imperfectly, but he really does. He loves his church. He laid down his life for his church, and he's not ever going to abandon his church or leave his church. The promise in Matthew is that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. This is a promise that is absolutely sure. Jesus abides with his church right now. But Jesus also intercedes for his church as the mediator. Have you ever thought about that? As we worship, even right now, at this very moment, Jesus is abiding with his church. Jesus is interceding with his church. Jesus is pleading with God the Father for his church on the basis of his finished work. That should give us great assurance, great confidence that though we can't meet right now, though when we do meet, sometimes it's not very glorious, that Jesus is at work in his church and will accomplish everything that he wants to accomplish. I think we see some of this promise of Psalm 122, some of this promise being fulfilled in the church in a passage like Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 24. I wonder if you see echoes of Psalm 122 in this. Let me read it. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. I wonder if you see that. If you see that when we come to church, when we come for public worship, when we come together even now, we have not come to something that can be seen, but we've come in reality and really and truly, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come where there are angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That is all of us who are putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And above all, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to his sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The only way to be let into this city, the only way to be let through the gates of Jerusalem, the only way to truly come into the house of the Lord is to put your trust in Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant. So how do we put this psalm into practice? Well, first, we can long for worship with God's people. I hope that you do. I know I do. I long to be with all of you in person. It gives me pain to not be with you, to not be all together on Sunday morning, and also to not be able to see you face to face throughout the week. I love to be with God's people at Corona Presbyterian Church, and I long for that time to come again. And I pray it comes very soon. I know it will come pretty soon. I pray it comes very soon. So you can long for worship with God's people. And this time should make us do that all the more. You can long, and you should long for the coming King, for the perfect mediator. How can you do that? How can you long for him? Well, first, you can put your trust in him. If you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you are looking to yourself, looking to something other than him, for your standing with God the Father, if you are looking for something else to make you right with God and worthy to be let into Jerusalem, I hope that you'll stop. I hope you'll turn away from those things. Turn away from yourself. Look outside of yourself. Look to Jesus. He is the perfect mediator. He is the only one who is worthy of your trust. Remember in Revelation 21, which we read, it says that only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be let through those gates of Jerusalem. The gates are always open, but only those who are written in the Book of Life will be let through. I wonder if that makes you worried or anxious. Well, if you are outside of Christ, then you should be worried. You should be anxious. Your name is not written in the Book of Life. But there is always an opportunity now to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Your name has been written in that book if you belong to Him. Even if you haven't put your faith in Him yet, this morning I call you to put your faith and your trust in Jesus the King. And if you put your faith in Him, if you rely on Him to save you, if you are looking to Him alone for your salvation, you can know that you'll be welcomed through those gates that are always open. You'll be welcomed through those gates into the New Jerusalem. So, long for worship, long for Jesus. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what it says to do in verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How can we do that? Well, remember I said Jerusalem we should think of as the church as we read this psalm and apply it to us today. Pray for the peace of the church. I don't know if you've been a part of churches, but I know that in many churches, they need peace. Corona Presbyterian Church needs peace. We haven't had huge conflicts. We haven't really had any conflicts. But we need to pray for the peace of the church, for the purity of God's people, for that church around the world to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel, faithful in worshiping God, faithful in being God's people on earth. So pray for the peace of the church. Pray for the peace of your church this morning. And pray that everything this psalm says about the church would be true more and more. Pray that we would really see ourselves as that Jerusalem on earth, that Jerusalem where God is reigning now. Though we don't see it perfectly clearly, though as human beings we are fallible, we need Him to reign more and more. Pray that the things that this psalm teaches about the church would be true more and more in our lives. And finally, get ready to rejoice. This psalm is a joyful psalm. It says in verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So get ready to rejoice. I hope you're rejoicing somewhat this morning. No, it's not the same. But you can get ready to rejoice when we are able to meet again. That time is coming. That time is coming soon. Time is coming several years from now, and we will look back on this time and not really remember this that well. We'll remember it happened, but we will be glad because throughout all this time, we have been sustained by God, and we can meet together again soon. So we can get ready to rejoice for the time when we can meet together in person. But much more, I hope that you will get ready to rejoice when we are gathered into the New Jerusalem, when those who belong to Jesus are welcomed in through those gates. I hope that you'll put your trust in Him. I hope that you will see Him as the only way to be worthy to enter that city. You are not worthy in and of yourself, but you are worthy if you put your trust in Jesus. So I call you to do that this morning. Turn from your sins, turn from your own efforts to make yourself acceptable, and turn to Jesus. And you will be certainly welcomed into the New Jerusalem if you do that. That is the only way, but it's the perfect way. That's the only way that you need. So get ready to rejoice. This is a psalm that should call us to rejoice. Even as it calls us to long for worship, it calls us to rejoice that God is at work, that He will bring us through this time. He'll bring us through this time and to when we can meet again, but He'll also bring us through our lives, through our earthly lives, where coronavirus was just a small blip on that radar screen. He'll bring us into the New Jerusalem through faith in Jesus Christ. So would you join me for prayer? Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We long to be with God's people. We long for the King, for Jesus to come. We long for Jesus to meet with us. We long for the peace and the prosperity that He brings. Father, not material prosperity, not simple earthly peace, but so much more. Heavenly blessings. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We long for those things. Father, we pray that You would bring us back together soon. But we pray above all else that you would bring us into that heavenly new Jerusalem one day through faith in Jesus Christ. We know none of us are worthy. We know none of us is able to stand on our own two feet and walk through those gates. But we know that any of us, anyone listening right now, anyone watching right now, however unworthy they feel, can be made worthy through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, through his righteousness, through his blood washing them clean, through his holy life, his holy and perfect obedience to you being given as if it were our own. We look to him in faith. We pray that you get us ready to rejoice. Would you help us even now to rejoice this morning? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.